Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I have a friend out at the Harvest Crusades with Pastor Greg Laurie. And for years, when it comes to today's subject, he would always say, well, you know what? Prayer isn't the only thing we should do, but we should do nothing without it. Which also sounds like kind of a little limerick, doesn't it? Prayer is not the only thing we should do, but we should do nothing without it. And it took me a couple of minutes to kind of work through that and think through that. But it was a great picture of the Christian life, because oftentimes we suddenly go, well, I'll pray about that. Well, some things, there's something for you to do. We have to put feet to our faith occasionally. But oftentimes we get that totally reversed. We do pretty much everything, and we rarely involve prayer. And I think of all the things that we struggle with in our Christian lives, then I think it's prayer. It's consistent prayer, fervent prayer, a desire to pray, how to pray. I think that's one thing that all of us struggle with. So every year about this time for the last several years, we've been with our friend Chris Schofield, who is with the North Carolina Baptist Association and Office of Prayer, the Director of Office of Prayer, as well as Evangelization and Spiritual Awakening. And every October, they do kind of a 30 days of prayer. There's a prayer guide. Who is My Neighbor is the theme this year. And it's just a great reminder for us. And by the way, you can jump in on this, and you don't have to be from North Carolina. You don't have to be a Baptist. You just have to be somebody that wants to do better with your prayer life, and especially when it comes to our neighbors, who most of the time now we're kind of not that interested, right? We don't really think about our neighbors. The nation is so divided, whether it's Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump, you name it. There's all kinds of division out there. And most of us, sadly, myself included, most of us don't really know our neighbors all that well. So the emphasis this year on who is my neighbor is welcome and needed here in the United States of America. So you can be a part of this as well. The website is prayfor30days.org. That's 30, prayfor30days.org. The easier way to get involved, which you can get this then by text every day and jump in there, is just text pray30days to 313131. And I'll remind you of that throughout the show. But Chris Schofield, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, great, Steve. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And kind of give us the history of this. How's this been? How long has this been going on at the North Carolina Baptist Convention? And why is this happening?
Well, it's been going on for 7 years now. This is the seventh year. The focus is prayer for revival and spiritual awakening. As you would know, we are in desperate need of God to move in revival in the church and spiritual awakening.
Unfortunately, I have a job that reminds me of that, multiple hours a day, right. 5 days a week.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, and it's also before our annual state convention meeting, so it prepares our hearts to look to the Lord, to seek the Lord for revival and awakening as we gather together as North Carolina Baptists in November.
Yeah, and again, I want to stress that whether you're a Baptist or not really is irrelevant for the sake of this today. Oh, yeah. And whether you live in North Carolina or not, we're on in 12 states now. That's irrelevant. You can be a part of this. Prayfor30days.org. There's an awesome PDF that you can download of the actual prayer guide, the prayer book. But I have five copies that we're going to give away today. If you want to get a copy, we'll get those mailed out to you later this week. That'll come from our friends at the Baptist office here in North Carolina, but we'll give away five copies of that. But you can download it for yourself as well. Prayfor30days.org, or just text pray30days to 313131. How do you arrive? There's a different theme every year, Chris. How'd you arrive at this one?
Well, there's a committee that meets every year regarding the
convention. Now, what are the odds of that in our Baptist world, that there's a committee that meets?
Right. You know, on the state convention level, they meet representatives from the churches all across the state. They come together seeking the Lord for the theme for the annual meeting. And so it's kind of a wedding together of this call to prayer for revival and awakening as we look toward the annual meeting. And so as I write this guide, I write it with in view of the annual meeting theme each year. But at the core of it is a call to prayer for revival and spiritual awakening. And by the way, Steve, this booklet, this devotional guide, you can order a hard copy of that.
Oh, cool.
From our office for just $2 a piece, and for your church members, if you're a pastor, or individually.
Now, as you were working through this guide, the prayer guide for Who Is My Neighbor, why is this such an important concept and topic for us as Christians? Because I think in the olden world, back in the day, as they like to say, that knowing your neighbors was pretty common. As I ran a house painting company, residential house painting company, I was in that world for 24 years, owned my own here in Raleigh, North Carolina for 14 years. I was amazed when I would tell people, oh, we actually painted for one of your neighbors down the street. And I would tell them who it was, at four or five houses down, and they wouldn't know who they were. That was very common for people not to really know their neighbors. But for us as Christians, how do we kind of unpack this concept, and why is it important?
Well, you know, this whole element of who is your neighbor, or who is my neighbor, is related to Luke 10:29, where the lawyer asked Jesus that question. Of course, he responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's a call to us as his people to see our neighbors as the Lord sees them, and to long to see them come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so it is a call to be a neighbor by loving them into the kingdom. You know, I had a lady tell me, just a senior adult lady who was a godly woman in Christ, who was actually a mentor for me and helped me to learn Greek when I was a student.
Whoa.
She said the greatest way to win people into the kingdom is to love them in the kingdom. And so as the people of God, this is important for revival. Revival and spiritual awakening impacts the way we treat our neighbors. If the church is revived, if we are experiencing the vital life in Christ that revival brings in our lives,
yeah,
then we will love our neighbors. We will love them enough to care about them, get involved in their lives, and share the gospel with them.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I told you this when you got here today, but last Friday my dad went to be with the Lord, and one thing that's happened ever since then is this intense desire, because my dad knew the Lord, and it reminded me, of course, in the scriptures that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And all of a sudden, there's this intense desire to want to share that, to want to share the gospel. Unfortunately, for a lot of us, it takes a kind of a traumatic event like that, but this is a regular call. It's interesting how Jesus took this question, because the rich young ruler, if you study that, like a lot of us, kind of looking for a list, right, so he can check it off and earn his way into heaven. Mm-hmm. And Jesus didn't let him off the hook with that one. But we should primarily care about our neighbors because of salvation, but we should care about them in general, shouldn't we?
Exactly, because we are Christian.
Yeah.
Because we are followers of Christ, and the love of Christ compels us to love people. You know, it is. You know, the Bible is full of those scriptures.
Yeah.
God so loved the world.
Amen.
We've got to do the same.
That's exactly right. We'll talk about the emphasis on prayer and why that's important in our lives, why it's important in our walk when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is it's great to be with you as always today, talking about, well, one of the most important things we can talk about outside of salvation itself and evangelism is the need for prayer, corporate prayer and personal prayer, and to call out to the Lord and to listen, to learn how to listen. And we're talking to our friend Chris Schofield today, who's with the North Carolina Baptist Convention and has been involved with prayer and church revitalization and evangelism and spiritual growth and spiritual awakening for years. I think you said 14 years here in North Carolina and 21 years overall. Is that right? Did I get my numbers right? And so every October leading up to the annual convention for the state of North Carolina, Southern Baptist, they do this prayer guide, which takes you through every day for 30 days. There's a kind of a focus. There's five different sections we'll talk about, and there's prayer points, and there's a devotional each day. Chris writes all this, and it's just a really powerful tool to help you dive in. I think we all need tools. I think oftentimes, Chris, we try to do it on our own, and we end up, well, not doing it. And so something like this is very helpful. We're going to give away five copies. You can actually get this prayer guide yourself. They're beautifully done and really easy to use. You can also get it online. You can go to prayfor30days.org. You can order the hard copy there, or on your phone, since most of us do pretty much everything there. Just text the words pray 30 days. That's 30. Pray 30 days to 313131, and you can dive in that way. But we're going to give away five copies that we have here in the studio today. So just give us a call. We'll be happy to send it to you. Like I said earlier, it doesn't matter whether you're a Southern Baptist. It doesn't matter whether you're in North Carolina. Prayer is something that we all need to be doing, and especially when it comes to who is my neighbor? That's really the question in the passage of Scripture out of Luke that this is focused on. Man, if we started to get that right, if we became that salt and light and that loving presence in our neighborhoods, not just to be a nice neighbor and a helpful neighbor, but for the cause of the gospel, I think we would see things change in this country, because politics aren't going to do it. Judge Kavanaugh's not going to do it. Trump's not going to do it. The left's not going to do it. The only thing that can really solve that kind of problem is the love of Christ himself. So that's why we're talking about this today. And if you want to call in and get a copy, we'd love to send you one. 866-348-7884 is our number. As always, 866-34-TRUTH. Out of the gate, all we need is your name and your email address. Then we'll get your address and we'll send that off to you. First five callers will get these, a copy of the prayer guide, Who is My Neighbor? Again, 30 days of prayer in October, which starts next week. So, Chris, we were talking about a little bit about loving my neighbor and that theme for the prayer emphasis this year. But let's talk about prayer in general. You've been around it for a while. I asked you this question during the commercial break. But how would you gauge the temperature of prayer in the church today? Because you've been around it for 21 years.
Well, you know, I would say, as I told someone the other day, I've probably been more encouraged in the last 3 or 4 years with what I see in the life of the church, especially pastors and leaders, as we begin to realize our desperate need for the Lord and in revival, spiritual awakening, to seek him. You know, he says, if you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I believe God is getting us. He's squeezing us, judging us, disciplining us, chastising us, drawing us to realize our desperate need for him. And I believe we're beginning to get that. Now, is it pervasive? No. Have we seen revival happen yet? No. Have we seen spiritual awakening happen yet? No.
Yeah.
But I believe that God is drawing, and I believe his people are beginning to respond. Now, will we respond in such a way that God will pour out revival awakening? I don't know, but I do know this about God, and that is with his character, that he would not play games with us. If he is calling us to pray and seek him, and he is the great initiator of prayer in Scripture, if that happens, Steve, then he's not going to one day say, oh, I was just kidding.
No, that's exactly right. I'm halfway through a brand new book by Pastor Greg Laurie. I work with the Harvest Crusade guys, and it's about the Jesus Revolution, which I think was the last bona fide awakening, more regional, but it certainly was. It was an amazing move of God. And the tumult of the 60s, and they all head out to Haight Ashbury and San Francisco thinking they're going to find all the answers. All they found was brokenness. And there was a real desperation out there. And then like Chuck Smith, a pastor there in Southern California, was desperate to see these people that nobody wanted to talk to, all these hippie kids, get reached and loved on by the gospel and by Jesus Christ. And they just began praying that God would start bringing these hippies to their church. And that's really what sparked that, the Jesus Revolution back in the late 60s and early 70s. And I think that's right, that the desperation has to be there. We don't have revival. We don't have that kind of thing going on because, quite frankly, I don't think we're very desperate.
No. But the Lord can make us desperate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's the interesting thing about this. It weds together that whole aspect of who is my neighbor, identifying, loving our neighbor with the element of revival and awakening. And I use the life of Jehoshaphat, at least the first years of his reform in 2 Chronicles 17, the verses 1 through 12 or so, as the backdrop for the sections of that. But the key is, when God moves in revival and spiritual awakening, it will first of all stir the life of the church. The church will be revitalized in its life, but it will also stir us to see the world as God sees it. You know, all of a sudden we're intimate. Yeah. Our intimacy with Christ is renewed, and we see as he sees. We begin to love the things that he loves.
Right.
And that's people. You know, he loves the world that he gave his life for, the world. So
yeah, and that's so important. And I think because of the division we've seen. We've seen division. I've talked to so many different Christian leaders and Southern Baptist leaders about what we've seen in the body of Christ just as a result of the last presidential election and Trump and Hillary and all that stuff. I've never seen division in the church that deep in my 24, 25 years of walking with the Lord. And then in the country in general, we're so divided. It's only getting worse. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of, you know, God, have it your way. It's kind of like the old Burger King commercial.
Exactly.
And then we get ourselves into a pinch, and then we have to cry out. But I want to go through kind of what this looks like on a daily basis. The prayer guide, who is my neighbor. Prayfor30days.org is the website. That's 30, prayfor30days.org. Or nice and simple, text pray30days to 313131. So if you're older like I am, the two part of the text is 313131. And then the message all together, rammed together, pray 30 days. That's 30. Pray 30 days, and then you'll get a reply text, and you'll be in. Again, I think we gave away all the copies already, but it's important for us to do this. So let's walk through what does this look like on a daily basis. We have our prayer guide. We're going to start on October 1st. What do we do?
Well, you know, there's a scripture text that you will examine and study, but also a devotional thought based upon historical, modern day examples and illustrations. And then there are prayer points, two prayer points a day. One's personal, one that relates to the church itself. And there are reflection opportunities for you to reflect upon what you have studied each day.
And then what are the five, and we're gonna hit the break here pretty quick, but I just wanted to go through an overview of what the five sections are and why these are so important for us to focus our prayer life on throughout the month of October. So just tee up the first one. We're going to hit the break here in about 35 seconds, but tee up the first one.
We'll okay, the first one is revival in loving your neighbor. And, of course, 2 Chronicles 17, 1 through 2, that's when Jehoshaphat sends out garrisons to love his people in the time of change and transition.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, how amazing would that be if all of a sudden that was our presence in our neighborhoods?
Exactly.
Not just North Carolina, but all over the country. Talking to Chris Schofield about 30 Days of Prayer in October. The prayer guide is called Who is My Neighbor? Prayfor30days.org is the website. Or just text Pray 30 days to 313131, and you'll be in that way too. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you guys today and talking about something that we should probably talk about more often. We should definitely do more often. And it's the whole subject of prayer. Our friends at the Southern Baptist Convention here in the state of North Carolina, where I live and broadcast from, every year going into October, kind of a 30 days of prayer emphasis this year. Who is my neighbor? Which, of course, we know that story from the rich young ruler. And then five different kind of aspects, five different ways that we're going to concern ourselves with loving our neighbor, whether it's revival and other things. We're talking to Chris Schofield today, who's been in that world of prayer and spiritual awakening and spiritual, just crying out for spiritual awakening in the country for 21 years, 14 years here in North Carolina. And we get the chance to talk to him pretty much every year now at this point, talking about these. And it's such a great tool. And you can go to the website, prayfor30days.org. That's 30, prayfor30days.org. Or just text pray 30 days to 313131. You can just text that, and then you'll jump in. You'll get those prompts each day. We had some phone issues, I was told, a little earlier. So we still have, I think we have three left. So we'll do that. We'll do that again. These will go fast. First three callers, 866-348-7884, and we'll mail you out one of these prayer guides. They're really well done, beautifully written. Chris does a great job with these. This is actually, I don't know if you're showing your age here. This is kind of a groovy early 70s vibe here to the font. It's really a well done guide.
Our communications team, they put that together.
All you do is write it. Yeah, but it looks great, and these are really, really easy to follow. They're really, really rich. So please call in. We've got three more that we'll give away. We'll mail them to you later this week. 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-34-TRUTH, or 866-348-7884. And in our last segment here, Chris, and I appreciate you driving up here and being with me on the campus at Southeastern Baptist, which is always cool.
Yeah,
but let's just go back through these 5 points that we're going to work through in October, and just a thought about each one of them and why it's so important for us as Christians. And then I want to finish by talking about prayer in general and its role in our lives as followers of Christ. But revival and loving your neighbor, what's our focus there?
Well, the focus there is, the, of course, based in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, King Jehoshaphat. When there was transition, he became king of Judah. He sent out troops to all the land and garrisons to protect them, but also to help them to find peace in the midst of enemies that would seek to take over and, of course, ravage them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was an act of love as a king. He wasn't just concerned about the capital city. He was concerned about the people. And it really challenges us to look at our neighbors and to love them. And to see that revival, when that happens in the lives of God's people, it stirs our hearts to see people from a new perspective, and that is God's perspective. You know, we all get in ruts, like old pigs.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And we get in ruts in our lives, and we go into our garages, go into our homes, and we stay there. But what I think we see in this great text is, they are challenged. We are challenged by the fact that he loved them enough to send the people out. And we've got to go out. We've got to get out there among our neighbors and love them into the kingdom.
Yeah, and that's where we should always be, in any neighborhood. And my wife just today was working down at a crisis pregnancy center. And this is God's desire. This is who God is. That in your neighborhood, in any situation, if everything's hitting the fan, if things aren't going well, if you need a friend, if you need somebody to listen and love you and pray with you, you're like, hey, there's a Christian down the street. And,
exactly.
And oh, yeah, you know what? My neighbors are Christian. We need to go see them. That really needs to be who we are. That's that curious attraction that Jesus had all the time, because he's out loving people well. The second one was seeking and delighting in the Lord before my neighbor. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, King Jehoshaphat, it's all based upon that. He sought the Lord. He didn't seek the Baals. So he sought to lead the people by his example, and as a king and a spiritual leader, he sought to lead them to seek after the Lord with all their heart and to delight in the Lord. Delight in his ways, delight in his blessings, and to realize that those blessings were not something that he produced in his own life as a king.
Right.
They
right.
were from God because he led the people to seek the Lord. And you see, times of revival and spiritual awakening, as God's people seek the Lord and delight in him, then the impact can truly be felt in our neighborhoods.
Sure.
As people see our changed lives,
yeah.
as they see us return to the Lord, as they see us act like we need to act as Christians.
Well, you go back to the Jesus Revolution. I brought that up earlier. And in the media, everybody took notice of that. Because all of a sudden, all these hippies are living changed lives. They're out on the street sharing the gospel. And all of a sudden, you know, the Jesus Revolution was the front cover of Time magazine. It was like 1972.
Exactly.
People are going to notice when we do that. Sin in my neighbor, section 3. This doesn't sound very popular.
Yeah, well, I know it isn't. But, you know, Jehoshaphat there, again, he dealt with sin in the camp. And he removed the high places and the images that were placed there, the Baal images. And so what he shows us is our sin can greatly impact our neighbors, either negatively or positively. And revival, when it comes to the church, then God's people get right with him, their lives are cleaned up, and they become hot-hearted for him before their neighbors. They live their lives as Christians. They walk their talk.
Yeah.
And boy, how important is that
in
our neighborhoods? Our neighbors need to see Christ
That's right.
in us.
That's right. What a great point. God's Word and My Neighbor. This is section 4. And again, if you want to get in on this, you can go to the website, prayfor30days.org, or just text pray30days. To 313131, and you'll get a prompt each day. But the book itself, which you can download, you can get a hard copy. I think it's like $2 if you go to the website, prayfor30days.org. Really great, beautifully done, really well written. Chris is a great writer and really in touch with the heart of God. So this is really a great resource for all of us. 30 Days in October, which starts, of course, in a couple of days. Section 4, God's Word in My Neighbor.
Well, you know, Jehoshaphat then sent the leaders, the Levites, the spiritual leaders, into the nation there to take the word of the Lord.
Yeah, they showed up with something.
They took a copy of the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it was so neat to see that importance, because they were going to teach them the word. They were also going to use the word to see them trained in how to live out that life before their neighbors.
Awesome.
And see, that's got to happen in our lives as God's people. The spiritual famine and void in our land will only be overcome as God's people live out and take the word of the Lord to our neighborhood.
And section 5, this is something that I think we don't think about a whole lot. I'm in love with grace and mercy, love it. But obedience is also on the table. It's on the same coin. And we tend not to think of that. But the fear of God and my neighbor, what are we doing there?
Well, you know, in this great passage of Scripture, in verse 10 of chapter 17, 2 Chronicles 17, Jehoshaphat, as he took the word of the Lord, God's blessings fell upon his people, and the neighboring nations began to fear the Lord because they saw the Lord. They sensed the Lord's manifest holy presence with his people. They saw him blessing them, pouring out his spirit among them. And I'm telling you, they feared the Lord. They began to bring presents to Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And so, you know, you see that and you say, oh my goodness, if God's people feared the Lord, if we begin to fear the Lord in a hot-hearted relationship with him, then would our neighbors begin to fear the Lord? You see, I believe with all my heart that is the big issue in the church in America. We've got to fear God and love him and serve him and truly be his in order for the lost neighbors to become thirsty. You know that old adage, you can't make a horse drink water. Okay,
yeah, that's right.
But you can
lead
him
there.
But
you can't make him
drink.
Can't
make him drink.
That's right.
But what you can do is make him thirsty enough to want it.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And see, that's what that's what takes place when we fear God. We begin to help our neighbors see their desperate need for the Lord.
Yeah, what a great point. So just to kind of wrap up this, and again, you can go to prayfor30days.org or text pray30days, that's 30, pray30days to 313131. What's going on when we pray? Chris, help us to understand this biblically speaking. Why do we do it, and what are we hoping to see happen? What's going on there when we're exercising the spiritual discipline of prayer?
Well, it's initiated by God, you know. In the beginning, God is the great initiator of our relationship. He is calling us to have intimacy and fellowship with him. We do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, his word, the Holy Spirit lives in us, his word, as we encounter him in his word, and he is alive. Mm-hmm. And so he wants us to commune with him, to hear from him. You know, oftentimes we spend most of our prayer time talking. But you know, God wants us to listen too, and he wants us to have that time to hear from him.
And that can be kind of mysterious to people. So when we say listen, what are we listening for?
We're listening for that his spirit to speak through his word. I always encourage people, your prayer time needs to be with your Bible open.
Yeah, what a great point.
You know, because biblical prayer is at the heart of hearing from our God as he speaks through his holy word.
Yeah.
And he will. And he's a speaking Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and so that delighting in him in prayer is so essential. I believe with all my heart, Steve, this is one of the great keys to revival and spiritual awakening in the church in America.
Yeah.
We need that spiritual vitality renewed and revived in the church. We've lost that.
Oh, we've lost it.
65 to 90% are declining or maintaining. We've lost the spiritual vitality. It's really not an evangelism issue. It's a heart issue. It starts with the heart.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. By the way, we're going to jump over and talk to our good friend David Fisher here in just a second. We're going to do a Money Monday update on a Wednesday. I left town Friday. Many of you know this. My father passed away unexpectedly on Friday, which is heartbreaking and sad in one way. But in another way, I don't feel robbed at all. My dad was 91. He and my mother have been married for 64 years. My mother's 86. She's doing really well at their health and everything. So we had this long, incredible relationship with my parents. I'm the last of four kids. So I was gone Friday. I was gone Monday. Yesterday, I did the show about my dad. There were so many great lessons to learn from my father. I did not do that to be self-indulgent. Was it healing and helpful for me? Definitely. But I didn't do that to be self-indulgent. I did that because I would want every single one of you to have an opportunity to spend time with my dad because of the way he lived his life and especially the way he poured himself into other people and showed deep and abiding interest in other people. In our highly distracted social media world, we don't do that very well. And plus encouragement, he was a great encourager. So that's why I did that yesterday. So if you missed that show, go check that out. You can get the podcast or watch the Facebook Live. The Facebook Live video stays on there. I'm bringing all that up because Facebook Live today, after the show, after we finish with the regular broadcast segment, then we're going to spend some time praying together on Facebook Live about this Brett Kavanaugh mess and what's going on up in D.C. So if you want to join me there in prayer after that, just go grab our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, just in the search box, put Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. You'll find it, and you'll see the Facebook Live there. Just hit play and jump right in, and you can pray with us afterwards. And we're just always paying attention to a lot of stuff. That's like my job, and that's why David Fisher's on with us once a week from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. That's his job in the financial world and the investment world. And so, David, it's always great to have you on. How are you, man?
My pleasure. A little bit of a challenging day, but a great day. You know, I want to comment on your time yesterday, lessons learned. I think you minister out of the transparency of your life because you're real, Steve. And, you know, there's different, as many people know, I've been in ministry before full-time, and a lot of no full-time, part-time donating my time. And one thing I've learned is that there's a lot of people that minister from their head, but the effective ministry comes from the heart. And that's something that I really appreciate. I'm getting choked up here from my brother. I really appreciate you. I didn't have the ability to listen yesterday, but I'm sure you've touched so many lives because you ministered out of the depth of your heart.
Thank you, brother. Well, praise God for that. That's kind of you to say. I know we always dive in, and I know we're always pressed for time and we do these short segments, but I love that we do this together and that we always dive into the scripture first. That's the gold standard for all of us. That's the greatest investment we should make. But 1 Samuel 17:22, let's start there.
This scripture is very dear to my heart. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle and entered in order to greet his brothers. So there's a lot of words that have power in them in this scripture, obviously my name, but take your name out of it if you're listening, and make my name out and put your name in there because the scripture is alive. And what is the baggage? Well, we all know what the baggage keeper is. That's the Lord. We yield it to him. Baggage can be sin,
yeah.
But baggage doesn't have to be sin. It could be just something that we're carrying that he doesn't want us to carry, a burden. It could be something that's on our plate, a challenging, that's something we don't really want to do, that life has things in our path and that we just don't want to do, but we know we need to do it in a task at work or something. Whatever the baggage is, let's give it to the Lord, and then we're free. We can run into the battle and fight the battle, the good faith with our brothers, which means we need each other. And that's the beauty of this. You know, yesterday, I'm sure you shared this challenge and the joy, but also the sorrow in your heart. And we all have facing sorrows, and the Lord wants us to leave that, and he turns our sorrows into joy.
That's right.
And, you know, the same thing happens financially. There's a lot of baggage that our country's carrying called debt.
Yeah.
It's not yet learned how to leave it with the baggage keeper, how to take care of that. But I'm praying for our country that God's going to do a miracle.
Yeah, amen. That's exactly right, and we all need to be doing that. We just did three segments all about prayer, and that's what we should always be leading with that. I think, oh, yeah, I got to pray. No, we got to pray and then everything else, and that's such a great reminder. Thank you for that, David. Well, tariffs in the markets, we talk about that every week. Give us an update of that, and then, of course, we got to talk about the fact that the Fed raised the rates today.
Well, since we talked last week, there's tariffs really haven't been implemented as far as more tariffs, but the ones that were talked about were put into effect, and there was some retaliation by China. Two things that were happening already, which is they wrote a 360,000 character word white paper on how, in essence, you're not going to, saying to the United States and President Trump, you're not going to force us into negotiations. And so the negotiations broke down. There was two delegates that were supposed to fly to Washington here late last week. That stopped. And they, one of their main delegates announced yesterday saying they don't appreciate what the United States is doing. It's like you are putting a knife in the back of our neck is what the verbiage said. Wow. So looks like a long challenge here happening. As far as how it's affecting the market, it's kind of like a yo-yo a little bit. Recently, 2 days ago, Rick Helfenbein, he's the president and CEO of American Appraisal and Footwear. He represents more than 1,000 world-name famous brands. He's very trusted. He was on CNBC. They were asking him the effects the tariffs would have. I think this is a good fact here because he watches $384 billion of annual clothing, apparel, and footwear accessories that come in the United States, representing 4 million U.S. workers. And he's saying what this is going to affect is, well, we get 41% of our apparel, 84% accessories, and 72% of our footwear from China. Wow. And now that is all broken down. Amazing. And we're going to have to go to other countries. They know we're coming. They're going to raise prices. This affects the consumer in higher prices. They back away from buying, and then we have starting to have layoffs. So this has not happened yet, but this is the chain that we talk about of trade that is starting to break down. Ford just announced today that they've lost about $1 billion in tariffs so far due to steel and other metal costs. So we're starting to see the effect. I said we would. We're in the early stages. Tariffs are not going away. And China and the United States are just fighting over this thing. Probably going to go on for greater part of this year and maybe into next year.
Yeah, and you know, the other shoe will drop, so to speak, and we're going to start seeing that in regular everyday prices. And Trump, President Trump's gambling. There's no question about it. He's playing around with the negotiation game. But in this case, we're not talking about a piece of property somewhere. We're talking about worldwide economic forces and massive ones. And it's going to be interesting. That's definitely one of those things that we should pray about. What about the Fed's raising the rates today? And are there any kind of headwinds or surprises that we need to be aware of?
Well, they raised it 0.25%. It was factored in. There was a 92% chance they were going to raise rates. They talked about raising rates in December. There's an 86% chance of the Fed survey that we will have a rate increase in December, which means 4 rate increases this year, which is what I predicted on your show in January. We've had 7 or 8 rate hikes so far. 6 out of the last 7, there's been the cause of the market to come down. The market was up 104 points today, closed down 106 points, so we had a 210-point swing downward as a result of the Fed raising rates. And this is going to be a little bit more challenging. It's not going to cause a market correction, but this is going to be challenging for the Fed, and we're having some headwinds because of that. We might have a government shutdown. We got 3 days before agreement on the end of the year, the fiscal year, and President Trump looks like he's going to not pass or sign into law the $864 billion spending bill that's going to be a continued resolution to keep us open through December 7th. And he's already said he doesn't have any funding for the wall, so that's going to be a challenging thing.
Yeah, they don't want to fund the wall, but they're willing to continue funding Planned Parenthood, so I hope he does veto it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, unfortunately, but, you know, that's his agenda. What he campaigned upon is his base wants that. Yeah. I'm not for it personally, so I'm putting my political view out there. This is not about politics. I support our president, pray for him, and he got my vote, but I don't agree with everything, and I think we need to be watching what we put our money to right now.
Exactly right. So, you know, your specialty over all these years, over 20 years now, is precious metals and gold. And there's kind of, you know, very diverse opinions out there right now about gold and what's going on. Some people are saying it's going to move down under $900. Other people are saying a major move up still this year. So what are your thoughts on what's going on in the gold market?
Well, I know we only have a couple minutes left. I'm going to go in depth next week when we have a longer segment on this question. I was asked this question, ironically, this morning. I'm a contributor for TD Ameritrade, and they asked me this too, because this is starting to come out in the news. The cost of gold to mine it is, according to the World Gold Council, $1,050 on the bottom end and $1,410 on the upper end. The 4 large gold companies, Goldcorp, Newmont Mining, Kinross, and Barrick, are averaging $1,052. So when somebody says $900 gold, I think they got to either sell a book, tape, or have you join their seminar. When they say $1,400 gold, I think they're wanting you to buy their gold. Those are the two bookends. I don't see any of those happening. I'm conservative in the middle. I don't see aggressive spikes nor contractions in the gold market. This is the time to be buying physical gold when you are in the accumulation phase, and that's what we are in right now, because we're going to have a big run in gold probably next year, or at least the year after, when a lot of the things that I've been talking about will come home to roost.
Got a new newsletter coming out this week entitled Back to the Future, Haven't We Learned the Obvious, and just good information and education. How can people get a hold of that?
They can call us the old-fashioned way, Steve, 844-879-8882. Or they can go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for your kind words, David. I love you.
I love you too, my brother. Praying for you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again real soon. Okay, friends, God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And as my dad always said, ever forward.